Hello everyone and welcome to the latest episode of EuroHoops EuroHoopod, the official EuroHoops podcast. As always, I'm Antonis Strogilakis, and as always, of course, I'm joined by my great, great colleague Cesare Milanti. Buonasera, Cesare. Hello.
Kalispera, everybody. Kalispera, Antonis.
Kalispera, and I think that our guest today also knows what Kalispera means. I mean, he's been in Greece a couple of months now. A European basketball veteran guard currently leading Greek side Peristeri in both the Basketball Champions League and the Greek League. He's also leading the Greek League in assists with an average of 10 per game, which is a crazy number. Remember, guys, we are in Europe here, not the NBA. 10 assists per game is crazy. He's also leading the Basketball Champions League in assists, and he just led, because this guy is leading a lot this season, He just led Peristeri to the Basketball Champions League quarterfinals after a crazy comeback. Throughout his career, yes, he won championships in ABA League in 2019 and in the Israeli Winner League in 2022. And that was a miracle run for Hapoel Holon. He was the finals MVP back then. Speaking of miracles, Joe Ragland, because if you haven't guessed already, Joe Ragland is our guest today. Joe Ragland, speaking of miracles, was that comeback in the Basketball Champions League a miracle? The 0-3 finish that you had to advance?
I mean, it might have seemed like that, but you know, with the point spread differences, us being down 0-3, we lost maybe one or two games by like one or two points. So after we played the second round and we beat them by more than one or two, it kind of worked in our favor.
So Joe Ragland, our guest today, obviously, welcome to EuroHoops podcast. Joe, how are you in general?
I'm chilling, man. Just relaxing after practice. You know, same old story, man.
Great.
Practice. How is your typical? We're going to talk about a lot about Vasilis Panoulis later, but yeah. How is the typical Vasilis Panoulis practice?
It's difficult, man. We work hard. Both sides. Defense, offense, a lot of film, so it's honestly ran like a EuroLeague program over here.
You feel that a EuroLeague program, you're thinking about the practices only, the organization. What do you mean exactly?
Everything from top to bottom, the film sessions, the way that he orchestrates, you know, the practices, everything, man. Just the style of, obviously, you know, he's played many years in the EuroLeague, so he understands what he's looking for, and it's tough every day. You know, we got to work hard and study, prepare our minds, all of that. So, you know, it's no secret for the things that's happening right now.
Yeah,
true. Speaking of the things that are happening, the Peristeri thing, you guys are doing great. I mean, you couldn't have done better right now. You are 30 in the Greek League, below only the two powerhouses, Olympiakos and Panathinaikos. This is how you finished the regular season. You advanced to the quarterfinals of the Basketball Champions League after that not-so-miracle run that we talked about. What do you think about the team's current status? How pleased you are with the level of basketball that you are playing right now? And what do you think about the potential?
Honestly, man, this is kind of what we expected it to be. We started slow, but Coach got a real positive mindset, and he keep you focused on every day, just one day at a time. So it was funny, man. We down 0-2, 0-3, and he's still talking about the quarterfinals, and we like, okay, like, but you know, we believed in his vision for us, and it worked out, man. Everything's smooth. The teams that, you know, that you would think that you would have, you know, rest time against, you know, outside of the top teams in Greece, he practices even more harder and difficult, you know? Like, if we playing a team, I don't, you know, really know who's at the bottom of the league. But if we playing one of those teams, practice is even more difficult than if we playing Olympiakos. You feel me?
Okay. Crazy.
Yeah.
So
opponent is too small for him.
Exactly. You know, he respects every opponent, and it showed in this second round, us only losing two games.
And talking about the BCL, as we mentioned, you yourself are a BCL great, 16 double doubles in the competition, 8 double double this season in 14 games, and that's big, of course, because we're talking not about points, rebounds, for example, but points, assist. Do you have one particular double-double that you remember well that you think, okay, I remember that game, that particular double-double. Do you have one?
So, what, like my favorite double double? I've never
There are
really
too
looked
many,
at it
it's hard to
like that.
remember.
I ain't really look at it like that, honestly. I remember one game I had 18 assists, but it wasn't a double double. I had like 5 points. But if we're talking double doubles, I have to say game one against Rutgers because of the significance of the game. But I feel like that game when I had 18 assists was my favorite because that day I went to the gym early and my mindset was made on scoring that day. You know, I just stayed aggressive and my aggression led to 18 assists, but only 5 points. You know what I mean? So me playing the game the right way when my mindset was made on scoring that day and I still, you know, had 18 assists and only end up taking like three or four shots, for me, that was like one of my favorites. Just because I didn't let my own individual mindset get in the way of reading the defense.
To clarify things, this was against Legia Varsovia when you played Hapoel Holon. 18 assists, 4 rebounds. Yes, I had to search that game. I have to be honest. I had to search about this game. And yes, you took only 5 shots and you committed just 3 turnovers for the whole game. One of your best playmaking, perhaps your best playmaking performance the basketball season.
For sure.
And how do you manage being so productive and, you know, making your playmaking skills getting better and better by the time was passing? Because, I mean, back in the days when you first approached overseas basketball,
Yeah, I
you
only
could have
averaged like
seen
three assists.
you could have seen it,
Yeah.
but not at this level.
Exactly. I would just have to put it towards watching film, man. I study film all the time. And honestly, I remember, if we just speaking real, I remember maybe like 4 years ago, you know, I would make assists and make passes and stuff just to read in the game. But I would look up guys like Teodosic or somebody or, you know, the crazy passes that he makes, you know? And I would just say, like, all right, what does he do that I don't? And what I learned was that he's not afraid to make any pass. And his IQ and his feel, he's gonna be able to make more, you know, greater plays than turnovers, you know what I mean? So it just made me realize, like, watching all the great EuroLeague point guards, Dida Matitas, all these guys that they're not afraid to make any pass, but it may seem like they're not afraid, but it's already a read that they kind of already understand, you know? So I started watching film on the easy baskets that my teammates could get and just, you know, started throwing risky passes. And, you know, that's what the game is all about, just reading the defense and knowing what you can get, you know, for the easy baskets or, you know, somebody top lock shoot back door right over the top. You know what I mean? These things is what I learned from a EuroLeague grace. And it transferred my assists from like 4 or 5 to like 7 or 8.
And other than risky passes, how would you say you've become a better pick and roll playmaker? Like, there are particular things that, you know, you stressed on, that you focused on watching maybe some other guys, or
I mean, it came with that. Obviously, you know, you watch the game and you learn from everybody around you. But watching myself, you know, when I was young, I'd come through the lane and try to take off one leg on the you know, try to finish the bottom guy, you know, the help side. I'd jump and try to lay the ball over him. As I got older, I started reading, you know, where they bumping from. And if my big man rolls, I hit, you know, I hit him. If they tag and, you know, stay in, then I'll throw it to the corner or back to the 45. So it just comes with time and experience and reading the game.
when is it that also a matter of you having to adapt more to the European basketball style? Because the way I see it, and after I've talked with many American players, you know, who make the jump to Europe, and their mindset when they first come to Europe is, I need to score, I need to make buckets. This is how I saw myself. This is how I saw my quality. This is how I saw my game. It takes time for an American guard who comes to Europe to change that, doesn't it?
It does for the most part, it does. But man, I've been a student of the game my whole life. You know what I'm saying? My mom was my first coach, and she loved, for her system to be around the big men. The guards, you want to score, you get steals, you get out in transition. We get in the half court, that ball going inside. This was her rules when I was about 9, 10, 11 years old. You know what I'm saying? So from that point on, it kind of just gave me the perspective of filling the game and just learning, my personnel, the personnel around me and who needs the ball, who's, whose strengths is this and whose weakness is that. So it's always been in my DNA. And once I accepted it, the older I got, you know what I'm saying? It looks like what it looks like now.
So talking about the Basketball Champions League, you've been to the Final Four in Bilbao with Apollon Elon in 2022. It didn't end up well for your team back then with two losses, but what did you learn from that experience being, close to the title after such a good run? And maybe that you want to put on the floor this season for Paris Terry trying to make it to the Final Four?
Yeah, I mean, it was what it was. We had a tough Tenerife team at that time. They still tough, but at that time they was tough. And after that, you lose that first game, and we was playing, I think it was Ludersburg. So we knew it was gonna be a tough game. We had already beat them twice. And then the way they play at that moment was, picking up 94 feet for 40 minutes. So we didn't have the legs for that second round as they did, that second game as they did. So, that Final Four trip, it was what it was, but it's experience just to be there. And right now, we're gonna take it one day at a time, man. We got a tough team we gotta play, German team, Bonn. So we're gonna take it one day at a time and try to be successful in this series.
Von, the reigning champion, but after Boeing, if you advance, you make the Final Four, which will be huge for the club, for all of you guys. And the Final Four will be held in Belgrade, in Star Arena. A very interesting decision by the Basketball Champions League, because Belgrade is a basketball city that you know that pretty well. How do you feel about the Basketball Champions League Final Four being held in Belgrade, being held in this city that is all about basketball?
Exactly. I like it. It's definitely gonna be a great atmosphere. And our goal is to strive. We striving to get there. Be there and be able to compete in that Final Four. So, like I said, one day at a time. But that's definitely one of our goals for the season is definitely to get there, and not only to get there, but to win it all.
You are a veteran in this competition, and the sentiment I think this season is that we are talking about the best basketball Champions League season ever. Do you agree? And if yes, what makes this season so great?
I don't know about that. If it's the best, I just know that the group that we came out of, that round of 16 group, was like probably the toughest
That
round of
was
16 group in the
without
history.
any question.
Yeah, because you got Jerusalem, you got Garcia, and you got Tenerife. Jerusalem just was in the finals last season, and I played against them last season about four or five times. They was always tough. Tenerife is obviously who they are, winning multiple championships. So, and Karsheka, well-coached team, great players, great budget. So, they're gonna be competitive. And I'm not gonna say we was trying to avoid being in this group, but once we realized we was stirred, we like, all right, look, it is what it is. It's gonna make us better. Like, we're gonna come out of that group, or it's gonna make us compete even better in the Greek League playing against all three good teams. So I would say this round was the toughest, especially for me personally, that I've ever been a part of. But I don't know about the whole season, the whole competition as a whole. I think it'll be tougher though in the future though, so we'll see.
So let's enter now the big Vasilis Panoudis chapter that we want to dig in. First of all, Joe, drive us through the first moments of you coming to Peristeri and to his team. How did he approach you to join the team?
So I had a player option in loan this season. I could have went back. It was my option. And this was before all of the things that's going on over there started, you know. So, and it's like a second home, you know what I mean? I love it there. They love me.
And it's the first time that you stayed with a team for 2 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Nah, I stayed in Italy for 2 years with a team, Avellino.
Avellino, okay.
Avellino, yeah.
I was in Avellino for 2 years. And I bounced around a lot of teams in Italy. I did about four, five, maybe like 5, 6 years in Italy. But coach called me and was like, you know, Peristeri, you know, we want you. So I'm just tossing and turning like, damn, should I take the comfort or should I be like, you know what? Let me accept this challenge, being around one of the greatest basketball minds that there is. You know, I knew he was going to push me. I knew that I was going to have to, you know, kind of get back into that old European style. Like, you know how the EuroLeague teams did, the Jako Obradovic. I knew it was going to be very difficult. But so that was just my battle to be like, all right, should I just stay in Hulon because I'm comfortable here? They let me, you know, they let me have my way. I practice hard. You know, we practice short. And I could just go on the court and be who I am, or should I take this challenge and learn from one of the greatest basketball minds? And that's what I did. You know, I woke up one morning and was like, you know what? You know, I'm gonna go to Peristeri. You know, because I know it's gonna challenge me, and it's not about right now. It's about many years down the line that I could learn from one of the greatest minds, you know, to ever do it in Europe history. So I could be 45 years old teaching people the things that he shows me. You know what I'm saying? So. I just really just at 34 years old, I just decided like, you know, you're not too old or too young or any age to, you know, continue to learn in this game. So, you know, I accepted the challenge to come, you know, be his general.
So potentially, do you see yourself being a head coach in the future, maybe even in Europe?
I'm not too sure about that, man.
Okay, so the Spanoulis inspiration isn't that huge for now, but...
No, listen, I'm not too sure what I want to do as far as in the game, to be honest. You know, I'm still on a focus on the everyday grind right now, but I know that somehow I'm going to be in basketball teaching, you know what I'm saying? Because
yeah,
I got so much experience that I have to give.
For sure.
Who knows, a few more months or a few more years under Spanoulis, maybe you will decide that you will want to be a head coach. Who knows?
But I'm just saying any type of coach, head coach, skills coach, anything, you know, I just know that my mind is open to doing multiple things, whatever the game needs, you know what I'm saying?
So you've talked to about us before a bit that Spanoulis was coaching you guys in a way to get ready for the quarterfinals, even when it seemed... I won't say impossible. It seemed very, very difficult to make the quarterfinals after you began with three losses. So you begin with three losses.
Yeah.
Almost no one counts you in. I mean, no one considers you at that point. How are these guys going to do it? Because you need the three wins. You need the point differentials. You need to do everything. You are down 0-3. What does Vasilis Spanoulis says to you guys that helps you completely turn it around?
Well, let me think. So the first game we lost on a buzzer beater. You know what I'm saying?
Jerusalem, yeah.
Exactly. Second game, Tenerife, you know, they destroyed us at their crib.
Yeah.
Third game, we was in it with Karsheka, and they got, you know, they down the stretch, they kind of ran away with the game. So, now we flipping it, and that was two road games and one home game. So now you flipping it to two home games and one road game on the, you know, the back end of the schedule. So the first thing first was just to beat Karsheka. Like, that was our mindset. Like, we got to beat Karsheka at home. We end up beating them. We play in Jerusalem in a location that's, you know, kind of away game for them and us.
Yes.
The Hungary, yeah.
Nope, nobody in the gym, you know? And that was kind of the game where it was like, all right, you know what? We win this game, let's see what could happen. So we fought hard, won that game, and then came back home, took care of business. And then, you know, the luck of the draw with Karsheka handling their business and beating Jerusalem, you know, here we are.
Did he, you said it before that he was coaching you guys to get ready for the quarterfinals. So he always believed that you
Yeah,
guys
he
are
it
going to
wasn't that he was coaching us, and my fault to cut
yeah,
you
yeah.
off, but it wasn't that he was coaching us to get to the quarterfinals. He just made sure that our minds were staying
On the
positive,
goal.
that any option is possible. So just take it one day at a time and let's win this game. You know, let's not go out against Karsheka and BS and think that we're not in it still.
For
Or
sure.
let's beat Jerusalem now, because you know, you never know. You know, he always has an optimistic, you know, mindset, and it just worked out for us.
Talking about Kill Bill as a player, you faced him twice in the 2014-15 season when you
Yeah.
played for Milano. You were younger, of course. He was already a veteran, a legend, and in his prime.
Yeah.
What do you remember from these games? Do you remember something?
I remember they destroyed us in Olympiakos. I remember the second game was a good game. I think I played okay that second game. I had like 9 or 10 points in the first half. But you know, I was on a very stacked Milan team, and I was a
Yeah.
rookie in the EuroLeague. So obviously those guys had the nod over me with the minutes. But I played decent the second game. But you know, I tried to look up and find that game on Synergy not too long ago. But yeah, I just know that they beat us two times.
Do you
Yeah,
remember
that's
something like, you know, knowing Spanoulis, witnessing him? Of course, you're playing, so you're facing him as an opponent. But also what you told us about Milos and Diamantidis and all the greats that you were watching to get something. Were you trying to do the same also with him on the same court? Kind of.
nah. At
Yeah.
that time, you know, we was just he was a player, you know what I'm saying?
For
So
sure. Yeah.
and I was there on the same court, so in my mind it was like, let's beat these guys, you know what I'm saying?
course.
Yeah,
You want to win.
of course.
But obviously, you know, the respect on his legend and who he was at that time was immense for anybody. But you know, we just played the game and that was that.
To close the Spanoulis chapter, we've seen some videos of him from timeouts. He really looks like a street coach, at least to our eyes. He's definitely a no bullshit guy. He's
For
straight
sure.
point, strict. I want you guys to do that. He knows what he asks for you guys. How is he when we don't look at him in practices, when he talks to you face to face?
Same way. Same way. He don't change nothing. What you see on that film and the games is who he is. You know, practice. He makes sure that we. You know, he'll let us know right away. You know, you guys BSing today. Like, oh, okay, because you won a couple games. Now you think you something, you know? He really keep us locked in on the task at hand. And me being here next to him for however long, like probably what, 8 months now, I see why his career was what it was.
Yeah. So coming back to a more BCL chapter, many believe that in Europe there are way too many competitions. Four competitions, of course, different levels, but still EuroLeague, EuroCup, BCL, FIBA, Europe Cup. At the same time, there's also the belief that it would be better for both the EuroCup and the BCL to somehow joining forces, merging together, being integrated in one competition. What do you think about
Yeah.
that possibility? Do you see that as a potential benefit for both?
Yeah, I think so. I like it. Honestly, I like it. For teams to compete, you know, against teams that you really don't see. You know, always been EuroCup teams, has always been EuroCup teams. BCL is a different style. So to put it together and make the leagues a less, like you said, to make less leagues and make it more competitive, one league. You know, you still got the EuroLeague is always going to be competitive. But you put these two leagues together, it's gonna make it even more competitive. So I think it's a great idea, to be honest with you.
But and what about the format? Which format would you like for that competition? The Euro Cup one with the series, or the BCL one with, you know, still the quarterfinal series, but with the final four?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. I'm not too sure. How does the Euro Cup do? They do like the Euro League, right?
They have
Like with the
knockout. They have knockout games until the semifinals, and then in the semifinals and in the finals, it's the best of three.
no final four.
No final four. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I played. A matter of fact, I played in the Euro Cup and we went all the way to the finals.
With
We was
local, yeah.
local, undefeated the whole year, and then ended up losing in the finals.
And then Scotty
Y'all.
Wilbekin happened. Sorry, but it was Scotty
Yeah,
Wilbekin
no, nah,
happened.
exactly. Yeah, he exactly. So, that format was kind of it was good for me at local because we had the budget, we had the roster. You know, we had 10 guys, 11 guys. So, 3-game series, we're gonna find a way to beat you. You know, I think in a series, the teams with the biggest budgets will always find a way to be successful.
Okay.
So, I like the BCL's format, to be honest with you.
So with the final four.
For sure, final four, but the top eight a series. How it is now? How it's structured now? I like that.
Okay.
But Darussafaka back then, they beat you in the best of three series. That was the thing. That was a deep upset. But I remember from this season you mentioned it. Scotty Wilbek in that season, it was a one-man show. I think he was one of the most difficult guards to stop in Europe back then.
Yeah, for sure.
You were saying.
I remember game one, man. We was up 7 points for like 45 seconds with the ball. 7 points, 45 seconds with the ball. We turned it over a couple times, and then after that, you know, Scotty, I'll never forget, he had a half-court shot to send it to overtime. Like, you know what I'm saying? You gotta put respect on his career and the things that he's done in Europe for sure.
Yeah, he has that. Yeah,
Yeah.
and we just talked about Scotty, who's killing it in the EuroLeague now. Talking about your chapter in the EuroLeague, do you wish to have played more in the EuroLeague? For those who are listening, you played 31 games. Correct us if it's mistaken. 31 games over 1.5 seasons with Milano, and then Pinar Karşıyaka
Yeah.
in 14-15 and 15-16. Do you wish to have played more there?
I mean, for sure, you know, it's the highest level. But I was real young, man. I was just still trying to find my footing, trying to be comfortable. I wasn't at that time. I felt like I was still trying to learn, but I was trying to prove. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't really feel like I should play behind this guy or play, you know, behind this guy. And it kind of just like slowed my process down a little bit, but I was still able to be successful. Go to, you know, Lokomotiv with Saša Obradović there, Red Star, all of these teams, you know, that had EuroLeague aspirations. And that kind of just, you know, end up being the next step for me was to be a part of teams with EuroLeague aspirations. And obviously being 20 and 0 with Lokomotiv. And losing in that finals was kind of like the letdown because that team with 20-0 in the Euro Cup, you assume that we would go to the EuroLeague the following year.
Yeah, that's
But
true.
you know what I'm
That's
saying?
true.
So it just didn't happen that way. But you know, it is what it is, man. It's a learning process for me, my whole career, and you know, I accept however it's came to me. Everything, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, I accept it all.
So you joined Milano in 14-15 after an amazing season in Cantù. I was a kid back then, but I remember it clearly.
He's a
Did
young
you
guy,
have
our Cesare.
Man, I'm old. You telling me I'm old, man?
No.
Don't worry, I'm older. Cesare is the youngest in the group. He's the only one who can call himself young at this point, truly young.
So, did you have other EuroLeague offers on the table other than Milano, or was it, you know, straight to the point with staying in Italy, you know, staying
Yeah,
within the same
man.
area?
I'm not too sure, you know. That was about what? If that's like 9 years ago, 8, 9 years ago. So
Yeah, 10 at this point, yeah.
I just remember We were speaking to Milan a little bit during the season when they wanted to make some changes. That didn't happen. Then I played against them maybe like a week or two before the playoffs. I had a crazy game. So I kind of knew, like, okay, they'll call for me in the summertime. And I feel like maybe 1 or 2 days after, or maybe a week after my season ended, they was the first team to call. And then obviously me being comfortable with the environment, the culture, it was pretty much a no-brainer for me to go there. So I couldn't even tell you the other teams that offered.
For sure.
You talked about teams with EuroLeague aspirations or EuroLeague teams. In 2018-19, you were part of a team that is right now in the EuroLeague, but it wasn't back then, Crvena Zvezda in Serbia. You have a fantastic season. You actually make the All ABBA League team. You were injured, if I remember correctly, and you didn't participate in the finals, in the semifinals and the finals. The team had an option to keep you for the following season, but that didn't happen. Why
That's
do
what
you?
it say. That's what it say on the contract. That wasn't the contract.
There wasn't the team option, or it was
Nah,
one option.
I believe it was a 1 year.
It was 1 year. Okay, because if I remember correctly, it was an option. So, all right, did you want to stay with Crvena Zvezda? What happened during that summer? Because to my eyes, you had a great season, and it seemed logical in a way for them to keep you because you played so great. You didn't play the playoffs, but you had a fantastic season.
I mean, I was injured and they figured out a way to win without me. You know what I'm saying? So obviously with them going to the EuroLeague, I felt like, maybe they had bigger aspirations of the players that they wanted, you know what I'm saying? Go get some EuroLeague players. So it didn't work out, but it was a great, great season. The coach, I loved him. Milan Tomic really looked out for me and gave me the ball and let me be myself there. So, it's always love with Red Star on my end, and I wish them nothing but the best.
By the way, I said about an option for the next season because that's on the official announcement. That was on the official announcement that it
Oh
was a
yeah.
deal with an option for the following season. Yeah.
Okay, it's been too many years.
All right.
But
Milan
yeah,
Tomic.
I wish them nothing but the best, man.
It's interesting that you mentioned Milan Tomic. You know, he was an assistant coach at Olympiacos when Spanoulis was playing at Olympiacos also. He has a history in Greece. Speaking about, I want to return to some Peristeri stuff. In a way, the situation in Greece for almost all the time, for forever, except some minor exceptions, is that Olympiakos or Panathinaikos will win the championship. There's no room for a third team to compete against them. Especially because upsets may happen in one game. You were close on beating Panathinaikos at home in the regular season. You came very close on beating Panathinaikos. Aris beat them at home and was considered a major surprise. But it seems impossible for a team to beat them in a series. Do you think that Peristeri could stand the chance?
I mean, look, everybody tie their shoes the same.
I know that there's no way that you would say no, that we won't stand the chance, but I have to
Come
ask.
on, man. We got everybody tie their shoes the same, put on the same jersey. So anything could happen, Obviously, they have the budget to be prepared if anything was to happen. You know what I'm saying? They got guys that can move in and out. But that's a story for another day, man. We'll get there. When we cross that bridge, we'll get there and we'll see what it is. But right now, we trying to make sure that we stay consistent and take care of the game against Kolasinac on Saturday. Going into game one against Bonds. So, because with teams like that, you can't just wake up and beat them. You got to be preparing and prepared for months. You know what I'm saying? Because they working hard over there. I'm sure about that. All those teams work hard. You know what I'm saying? Because they at that level. Obviously, their schedule with the EuroLeague, from what I can see from the outside looking in, it looks pretty tough with so many games, but those guys are really in shape and locked in. And if you want to compete with them, it's got to be the same. And from that point on, just mentally being physical and battling with them, from that point on, it's just about putting the ball in the basket.
To close the Peristeri part, because we want to move to some flash questions. We talked about it before. You spent more than 1 year with the team twice in your career. It happened with Avellino, and then it happened with Hapoel Holon. With all the other clubs that you signed with, it was a 1 year situation. Considering that you are happy now with Peristeri, you have a coach that also lets you do your thing, lets you be who you are, and at the same time you learn from him. Peristeri is right now as successful as it can be right now. We talked about it. You guys are doing the maximum in every competition. Do you see yourself staying in Peristeri long term? Is that something that you would like to do?
I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, you know? 'Cause we don't know what the future holds and for any of us. You know what I'm saying? So when we get there, we'll cross that. But like I said, right now we're trying to focus on the task at hand and what's in front of all of us, and then to make sure our season is successful. But it's definitely love here. You know, I'm comfortable here. They make sure they take care of me. You know, all the guys from the manager all the way up, the strength coach. It's definitely a well-oiled machine over here, and I'm happy.
Joe, if I'm not mistaken, you are represented by TCA Agency, and TCA also had Jason Williams, the Jason Williams, the white chocolate Jason Williams, as a client. So I can't help but wonder, have you ever met him? Have you ever discussed hoops? Has he ever given you an advice? Please tell us about it.
I met him maybe once or twice, hung out with him a little bit at his house, his family and stuff. I don't remember exactly which year, but it was the NBA playoffs at the time. So, you know, we was just watching the NBA game, being able to pick his brain and see what he sees about the game. Also, I forgot I went. He likes to play in rec leagues, you know, around with the kids from the neighborhood and stuff. So
Really?
I went to one of his games, watched him, and then from that point on, we went and hung out and watched the playoffs. So great guy, and you know, him and my agent are very close, and obviously me and my agent are close. So you know, it's always love with Jay Will. I think that was the only time I actually seen him face to face, but you know, cool guy.
Has he given you any advice on how you play? Because okay, you guys are both point guards, so I can't help but wonder, you're a point guard, you have Jason Williams in front of you, so you may
Yeah.
ask him something. Oh, okay, how do you do that? Or how do I do what the passes that you do? So, or something like that.
Yeah, now we never really get into conversation, you know, in depth like that. But I believe I was real young. You know, he gave my agent the head nod, like, okay, yeah, you got a good one there, you know. And that was really all it was. I believe he retweeted one of my highlights and stuff, but you know, like I said, just based on the love that we have for our agent, you know, it's always love with him.
We have some really quick questions now for you to conclude our conversation.
All right, cool.
Can you give us your quarterfinals predictions?
Nah, can't do it.
The quarterfinals
Can't do it. Listen, I'm only focused on us, man. That's it.
So you are saying that you aren't paying attention to what happens in the other group? Oh, come on, Joe.
I can care less, to be honest with you. I'm just
Okay.
locked in on what we gotta do.
Give us your EuroLeague MVP at least. So because that would be an easy one, I guess.
For sure. You gotta be Mike. You know, he's killing. You see him
Thank you.
everywhere, you know, all his highlights, all the things he's been doing all year, so. You know, you definitely got to make sure. I feel like this is what he got one before or no?
No. He
Nope.
was
Yeah,
close.
this definitely gonna be his first one. And on top of that, the team success. Your league is tough, and they in that top three, top four. So, and not even just listen, not even just the scoring, breaking the scoring record, just the
No,
overall
it's
play. Without that, the overall play for him this season has been one of the for me, just looking at, the things he's done, it's been one of his top seasons. So I think, he holding it down for the veterans, man. He what? He about, I think he about my age, 33, 34, something like that, 32, 33.
he will be 34 in August, if I remember
Yeah,
correctly,
you feel me?
because I was
So
checking it before, but yeah, something like that. Yeah, as you said, the becoming the all-time scoring leader in Europe was just the icing on the cake of the season.
exactly. So
He's doing so great.
he's another example of, like, players that improve with time, like fine wine. He's
Very
another
true.
one of those examples. So, shout out to him and his career.
So, thank you very much for the conversation, for the time you took to talk with us. We really enjoyed it. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate y'all, man.
Thank you, Joe.
Good luck
All right.
Saturday. You begin the next step for Peristeri in the Greek League. You are hosting Kolossos, and then
Yep.
Wednesday you play your first game for the Basketball Champions League quarterfinals in Germany against Bonn. This is where fans can catch up with you, with Joe Ragland, and all and your action Peristeri Basketball Champions League and the Greek League. Good luck, Joe, in this upcoming
Appreciate you guys, man.
and thank you
Thank you,
being
Joe.
with
Appreciate it,
us.
bro.
Cesare, thank you once again for being here. And from me, Antonis Sokilakis, Cesare Milati, and Joe Ragland, to our viewers, thank you for watching or listening or doing both another episode of EuroHoops EuroHoop Pod. As always, you can catch up with us on YouTube, on Apple, Spotify, and various other channels. See you next week. Take care, everyone.
Peace.
All right, bro. Appreciate y'all.